This is Ozarks at Large. It is a Friday the 13th. With me on the phone from his home office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Michael, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Hasn't every day during 2020 yes. been a Friday the 13th?
I think so. I think you're absolutely right.
All right.
Well, boy, so much to talk about. All of it concentrating really in the city of Fort Smith this week. Let's start with the Freedom of Information Act law and Fort Smith and what's happened this week.
Well, apparently the Freedom of Information Act, that law, Arkansas law, which is supposedly one of the better laws in the country, means absolutely zilch to the city of Fort Smith. And it has for a long time. The city has had a history. Even with different city administrators, different boards, you know, they'll follow the law if they feel like it kind of thing. And the problem with Arkansas's law is that it takes a while to get any kind of justice on it. And when you do, sometimes it's just a slap on the wrist. What I'm talking about here is Talk Business and Politics requested the list of candidates, resumes, and applications for the A&P director they're hiring, advertising and promotions director, essentially a director of tourism. Now, the city does not, that person does not work for the city, but the commission, we asked the commission for those. Then we were referred by the commission to the city, to Carl Gefkin, city administrator. We sent Mr. Gefkin a note on Tuesday explaining that those, by law, the law is very clear that those applications are public. They're public documents. And for example, we requested the same thing for when Mr. Gefkin was hired as city administrator back several years ago, and the city turned all over. And we didn't ask for all of them because they'd received quite a number. We just wanted the finalist.
Right.
The resumes and applications for the finalist. We received those from the city years ago and Mr. Gefkin. So, again, to my point, they follow the law when they feel like it. If they don't feel like it, they won't. But for some reason, they've decided, they told us, no, we'll give them to you Thursday. But the law says that those are documents that are in use, which they're in the process of hiring, so they have to be provided almost immediately, the law. Mr. Gefkin did not reply to that email request, and he has not responded to three different phone calls. And he has not responded to email requests from my reporter. The city has not. I mean, it's just a blatant violation. And I guess Mr. Gefkin doesn't realize that the public's business is the public's business. And I'm also very disappointed in Mayor George McNeil, who, when he was running for mayor, I visited with. He asked me, as a member of the media, what's one of your biggest concerns for the city? I said, well, the city doesn't give a rip. And historically, and when I say historically, I mean over a period of decades, Kyle, where the city's just blatantly violated this act. And it's in place to let the people know what their government is doing. Mr. McGill, before his mayor, said, hey, he understood that's important. You know, there needs to be transparency. Well, we got no relief from Mr. McGill either. It's just very disappointing, Kyle. I mean, look, this is the A&P Commission. This is a tourism director. We're not talking about somebody who has nuclear launch codes. There's nothing sensitive about it. Just provide the documents. The law requires it. It's the public's business to know who you're looking at before you make a decision. They don't. And look, they get away with it, I think, because the public doesn't realize the slippery slope this is. And they don't have to play by the rules, and they can kind of do whatever they want. If there's a little bit more teeth in the law, this probably wouldn't happen as much. But just very, again, very disappointing. And we're trying to consider what our legal options are. We're not a big media outlet with a lot of big bucks and attorneys sitting around twiddling their thumbs, so we'll have to be careful what we do. But maybe that's enough of my rant. But I guess we'll find out at some point who they've hired, but there will be no public transparency during the process. Look, this is close to a $100,000 a year job.
Well, what do we know about where we stand with the convention center, the director? Because Claude Legree announced his retirement, I think, in late June or early July. There's been some change over there. So where do we stand with the leadership in that regard?
Well, with the convention center, you know, the leadership, as you said, has been up in the air. However, the city board just this week approved the contract with the Los Angeles-based Oak View Group to manage the convention center. The city will essentially pay him a management fee of about $8,500 a month. And this company will come in, manage, hire their own leadership. They're supposed to keep employed some of the workers the city has now. We'll see how this goes. They're also going to make some upfront investments in terms of, I think, probably food service, catering, that type of thing. The food service thing will be interesting because I think we talked before when the convention center was built, there was a promise to local folks that local caterers, local restaurants, they would have access to catering. I'm not sure Oakview will honor that or continue that. So that could be an interesting dynamic. But again, as I talked about earlier, I don't think the city doesn't care about the public input on that. But we'll see how this goes. Oakview has a pretty impressive history or a client list of properties they manage, much larger than the Fort Smith Convention Center are most of the clients. And they laid out a pretty promising plan in how they would manage it and how they would bring in acts, how they would turn a profit on it. So we will see. I mean, they're up against not only trying to maximize a smaller venue, but do that during the pandemic. I think that what the city was looking for is they were pumping, almost $800,000 a year out of their general fund budget into keeping this thing going. I think the city's hoping that that will go away and allow them to use that good chunk of change on some other items. So it's a 3-year agreement with options for up to 7 years, 7 1-year terms after that. So we'll see. We've got 3 years to see if they can turn this thing around.
Well, it took less than 3 years, considerably less than 3 years for the Fort Smith
3 hours
school board to have new leadership. Dr. Doug Brubaker, who had been superintendent for roughly 4 years, announced his resignation. He's going to Texarkana, Texas for a school district there. And a new superintendent. What do we know about all of this?
Well, we don't know much. It doesn't make a lot of sense, and you almost get whiplash of following that little event. Dr. Brubaker left for the Texarkana Independent School District in Texas, which he said is for personal reasons, and you've got to think that's the case because it's a smaller, almost a 40% smaller school district in terms of students. But it puts him back in the Texas system where he's from. Maybe that, kind of closer to home. So maybe that appealed to him. And, Dr. Brubaker was superintendent here during this millage. She kind of led the millage effort, which was successful, which is now ongoing. Construction is still ongoing. Dr. Terry Mulowski was an interesting choice. He has a lot of school experience, but it's not a lot of classrooms, not a lot of instructional or educational experience. It's more admin. So it'll be interesting to see how that sits with the teachers in the district and the other principals. But he's taken over. He has been in charge of the construction, this millage construction. So maybe the board thought he was the right person. But I tell you what, the number one question I have received about this from folks is, why didn't the board search for someone? What was the rush? It wasn't as if, everything was going to come crashing down if they didn't have someone hired, but the school board, for some reason, decided that they needed to have someone immediately. So there's no search, no interviews with other folks. I'm not even sure if they interviewed other folks within the system. The same day that Brubaker said he was leaving, the board had a special call meeting that night and hired Dr. Morawski. So just an interesting turn of events that just kind of leaves some folks scratching their heads.
All right. Wow.
And don't get me wrong. He may be the right guy. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't kind of pass the smell test.
All right. Michael Tilley. And you can read more about all of these topics and others at talkbusiness.net. Michael, thank you so much. When we talk again, we'll be ever so close to the holidays.
Yep, and go Hogs.
And go Hogs. If that game still is going to happen in Florida, go Hogs. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thanks, sir.